Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Arena REIT Half Year 19 Results Teleconference. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Bryce Mitchelson. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this Arena REIT Half Year Results Conference call. In conjunction with the half year results this morning, we announced also my retirement from the role of Managing Director and from the Arena REIT board, and the appointment of my successor, Mr. Rob de Vos, who many of you know quite well. I'd just like to say some brief words in relation to my retirement before I formally hand over to Rob and Gareth, who will take you through yet another strong set of operating results for the business. For those who know me well, this announcement may come as a slight surprise, but it is something that I've been thinking about and planning for some time. I've led the Arena business since its original listing in June 2013 and in its previous form since May 2009. It's been a great journey for me, lasting nearly 10 years. And during that time, the business has grown threefold. I've been very fortunate to have had a very loyal and dedicated management staff team behind me. And I've made lots of friendships along the way, including some of you guys as investors. I believe now is the right time, a good time for me to pass on the baton. It makes room for the existing management team to step up and grow and inject new life and energy into the Arena business. The business is really good shape with a strong financial position and many growth prospects. And I'm proud to be able to say that Arena has been the best performing REIT in the ASX 300 over the past 5 years to the end of last month. So I don't think I could have wished for a better time to exit the business. I generally want to personally thank the Arena board for their unwavering support during my tenure. I also wish to thank Rob and the Arena management team for their support and loyalty over the years and wish them all the best for the future. Arena is a truly great business with lots of opportunities. I will remain a shareholder myself for many years yet to come. And lastly, I thank you, Arena's investor community base, who continues to strongly support the growth of the business. And I appreciate all the personal messages that I've received this morning. I think you, as a ARF investor, will remain in good hands with Rob at the helm. With that, I'll now hand over to Rob.
Thanks very much, Bryce. And good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Arena REIT's half-year results presentation. Arena's half-year results announcement, investor presentation and financial statements were released to the ASX earlier today. My name's Rob de Vos, previously Arena's Head of Property and newly appointed Managing Director. Joining me on the call today is Gareth Winter, Arena's Chief Financial Officer. Before we get started on the presentation, I'd like to take the opportunity to acknowledge the announcement of the retirement of Bryce, and on behalf of management and the board, congratulate him on his many achievements whilst at Arena. I'd also like to personally thank him for facilitating a smooth succession program. On behalf of all of us at Arena, we certainly wish you all the very best for the future. The format of today's call will have Gareth and I walk through the investor presentation, and there will be an opportunity for questions at the end. Moving into the financial highlights for the period, and I'm very pleased to report that Arena has again been successful in growing income and distributions over the half year ending December 2018. To touch on the highlights, our cash-based net operating profit of $18.3 million for the half represents a 9.3% increase on the prior year, with the revenue growth from ongoing development activity and rent reviews substantially flowing through to bottom line net earnings due to a comparably strong and stable operating expense structure. EPS is up 5.5% to 6.77 cents, and we've paid a half-year distribution of 6.75 cents per security, which was in line with guidance and represents a 5.5% increase on the prior year. Total assets have increased by $38 million over the period, and underlying rental growth and a relatively minor firming in market yields delivered $18 million of asset revaluations, which was the primary contributor to the 3% increase in net asset value to $2.03 per security. There was a minor increase in gearing to 25.7% as a result of debt funding our development and acquisition programs through the period. And today we are reaffirming our full-year distribution guidance of 13.5 cents per security. And as you'll pick up throughout the detail of the presentation, we remain well-positioned to execute on growth opportunities should they arise. Moving on to page four on portfolio highlights, we've again seen positive outcomes from our management programs across the portfolio. average like-for-like rent increases of 3.1%, which includes market rent reviews in our childcare portfolio of 6.3%. We've had success in extending leases, particularly in the healthcare portfolio, which we'll provide further detail later in the presentation. Our WALE now sits at 14.2 years. Portfolio value sits at $743 million, up 6% as a result of increases in property values and new acquisitions. Portfolio passing yield is relatively stable, compressing by 6 basis points over the half and now sitting at just under 6.5%. We've acquired the freehold of 2 operating centres for $10.6 million on an average initial yield of 6.7% and completed 3 new developments for a total cost of $20.4 million and an average yield on cost of 6.3%. So an active period providing good results across the portfolio. I'll now pass you over to Gareth, who'll provide more detail on the financial results.
Thanks, Rob, and good morning, everyone. Just turning to page 6 of the presentation, you will find a summary of Arena's operating income statement for the half year, which shows a 9% increase in net operating profit. The net operating profit represents Arena's cash-based earnings and is the source of distributions to investors. There is a reconciliation of net operating profit to statutory profit in the appendix to the presentation. That primarily accounts for the non-cash accounting adjustments, the most substantial of which is the periodic revaluation of investment property and hedges. Now, EPS of 6.77 cents is 5.5% higher than last year and is tracking to expectations, with more growth in EPS expected in the second half of FY19. A key driver of the result was the 15% increase in property income. This income growth has been derived on the basis consistent with prior periods, and it's coming from a combination of the rent reviews, which averaged 3.1% in the half year, with more market rent reviews due in the second half, and the benefit of new income from Arena's continued investment in ELC developments and acquisitions contributing to revenue growth, noting that the 3 developments completed in the first half of FY19 and the annualisation effect of 14 developments completed during FY18 contributing to that growth. Looking at some other line items, other income includes interest and fees earned from managing our unlisted healthcare property syndicate. The investors in that syndicate recently extended the term of that syndicate for a further 2 years, which was good news. And the small overall reduction in other income is largely due to interest on cash from placement proceeds in the prior year not being replicated in the first half of FY19. There's been a small increase in property expenses, which is reflective primarily of a change in Queensland land tax recovery, which is fairly minor for the Arena portfolio at around $80,000 per annum. And we also have allowed for an increase in our periodic property inspection costs in those numbers. The increase in cash operating expenses was expected with the growth of the business, with the above inflation increases largely due to registry costs, as we had 30% more investors in Arena in the first half of FY19 versus FY18, and other compliance and regulatory costs such as custodian corporate insurances and the recent introduction of ASIC industry levies. Just looking at finance costs, which have also gone up, but that is purely reflective of the ongoing funding of the developments which were completed in the past 12-18 months, which are now transitioned from interest capitalisation to operating profit in conjunction with the commencement of leases and the related property income. The lower statutory profit is primarily attributable to a reduced increase in property revaluations in the first half of FY19, which at $18.6 million was around $3 million less than the first half of FY18. With operating performance being in line with expectation, we have paid distributions to date in line with our full-year FY19 guidance of 13.5 cents, which for simplicity we have straight-lined over the course of FY19. As I mentioned, this represents growth of around 5.5% on the prior year. The full-year payout ratio is expected to be consistent with recent years, which reflects the strong underlying cash flow generated by the business and the predominantly triple net nature of our leases. I also note that net operating cash flow tends to be weighted to the second half of the financial year as well. Just turning to page 7, this slide presents a summary of Arena's balance sheet with a full balance sheet in the appendix. Growth in total assets is primarily due to $20 million invested into new ELC developments and acquisitions during the first half, and also the asset revaluations of $18 million, which is also the primary driver of the 3% increase in net assets per security, with a small contribution from our DRP. Gearing at just under 26% is below ARENA's maximum gearing range of circa 35 to 40%. However, we still remain comfortable that the current gearing gives ARENA scope to take advantage of new growth opportunities and also provides a buffer around any future market volatility. I note that gearing is expected to increase by a couple of percentage points from the acquisitions announced yesterday of the SA Care portfolio and also as our existing development projects reach completion. If we turn now to page 8 in our capital management summary, again, there is some additional information in the appendix. ARENA's approach to capital management has prioritised resilience and risk reduction in the face of greater scope for market volatility and risk that we've all been observing in global markets. Activity in the first half of FY19 has been largely incremental. We have maintained the long average duration of interest rate hedge cover at near 80%, and we have also recently increased further access to liquidity through a $50 million debt facility expansion. You may recall that we completed a significant debt extension just on 12 months ago in February of 2018. I note that the average cost of debt is unchanged at 3.85%, which is the same as it was at June 30. As I mentioned, maintaining a relatively modest level of gearing is allowing us to take advantage of market opportunities, and we have also still got our DRP open, which also provides incremental funding for our development pipeline. Finally, I note that ARENA operates well within the requirements of our debt facilities, and we have substantial headroom in our LVR and interest cover covenants. I will now hand back to Rob DeVos, who will update you on the property portfolio.
Thanks, Gareth. I'm on page 10, and the highlights for the period under the team's key focus areas. We've maintained 100% occupancy across the portfolio. We've achieved like-for-like rental growth from the portfolio of 3.1%, including market reviews at 6.3%. We've worked in partnership with our tenants to extend leases out of cycle, resulting in a material increase in our WALE and increasing those transparent, predictable cash flows that we prefer. On a portfolio management basis, we've acquired two operating childcare properties in Queensland on a net initial yield of 6.7% and introduced our preferred template lease as part of those transactions. We've seen further valuation growth across the portfolio, albeit at a lower growth rate than recent periods. The passing yield to the portfolio is now 6.46%. We've again had success in executing on our development activities, with three high-quality projects completed at a total cost of $20.4 million and an average yield on cost of 6.3%, and we've acquired two further new development sites in high-demand locations. As mentioned in the highlights, we've again seen positive outcomes achieved across the portfolio, and as such, our portfolio metrics are in good shape. 100% occupancy, WALE at 14.2 years, portfolio value up $18.6 million or 2.7% for the six-month period, and our weighted average passing yield now at 6.46%. Moving to slide 11, and one of the really pleasing outcomes from our management programs over the last 6 months has been the completion of a lease extension with our tenant partner Helios, formerly known as Primary Healthcare, which has extended the healthcare WALE from 4 years to over 14 years. This early releasing program is a great example of the benefits of our team's strong relationship and deep understanding of our tenant partner's businesses. In the case of this transaction, has been designed to align with Helios's own upgrade programs across their network to attract and retain more GPs and improve the visiting customer's experience. The new leases have maintained the same face rents and escalation profile, which is a mixture of CPI and fixed reviews. We've paid an incentive of approximately 11%, which is split over cash, capital upgrades, and the balance being applied to rent abatement over the new term. The extension provides for an improvement in the longevity of the contracted income with an existing strong tenant partner, a material net increase in the valuation of the healthcare portfolio, up 12% from $85.4 to $96.3 million. It avoids the five-year lease option period, which would cause difficulty for us to accessing valuation growth over time. And importantly, it increases the utilisation by the tenant and the community of our assets, and as such, provides a reduction in future renewal risk. Healius will be undertaking upgrade programs, including rebranding across our portfolio, commencing in the next quarter. Moving to a quick snapshot of the portfolio composition on page 12. We now have 218 properties across Australia with a value of just short of $750 million. Our passing yield is 6.46%, which has seen minor compression over the period, predominantly as a result of improved valuation metrics on the healthcare portfolio following the lease extensions. In terms of diversification, we continue to improve our spread of tenant partners, and geographically, you can see that in the middle graph, if you tally Queensland, Victoria, New South Wales, we have 87% of the portfolio in the eastern seaboard states. Sector metrics remain heavily weighted towards childcare. We would like to see further diversification here over time, and consistent with that objective, we announced yesterday the acquisition of a portfolio of specialist disability accommodation assets leased to a leading South Australian disability services provider, SA Care. We have a slide on that later in the presentation. Moving on to the lease expiry on page 13, and this slide illustrates the impact of the Healius lease extension and the longevity of the contracted income position of the portfolio. The hatched columns are where the healthcare expiries were prior to the extension, and the arrows indicate where those expiries have shifted. As you'll see, we've staggered the new healthcare expiries to reduce concentration of renewal risk into the future. You can also see that we now have less than 1% of the portfolio income expiring in the next 4 years, and no single year that has more than 17% of income expiring over the next 23 years. The portfolio WALE has increased from 8 years at the time of listing 5.5 years ago to over 14 years at December 2018. Moving on to our rent review profile on the next slide. As you'd expect, there's no material changes to our rent review profile. For the first half, we achieved like-for-like rental growth of 3.1%. Outside our like-for-like growth, we restructured three leases in the period, representing 1.5% of income. This involved rentalising some capital expenditure for upgrade works and extending terms to new 15 and 20-year leases. The uplift in rents on those assets was just under 20%. Importantly, that transaction also allowed us to adopt our standard template lease that provides access to underlying tenant operating data, which was a milestone for us as we now have every one of our 211 childcare properties reporting quarterly operating data on a monthly rest basis. We've completed all of the market rent reviews during the first half and have pre-agreed 13 market rent reviews accounting for 4.9% of annual income in the second half. The outcome of these market reviews in aggregate was an increase of 6.3%. With a further 7.2% of annual income subject to a market rent review in the second half. Whilst we've commenced negotiation with our tenant partners on these, we expect they will stretch over into FY20 before they are completed, so they're towards the end of the year. The balance of financial year 19 is made up of a small exposure to CPI reviews and 26% of annual income either fixed or subject to CPI with a ratchet of at least 2.5%. Looking forward for the next 2 years, you'll note market reviews totalling 8% and 9.6% for financial year 20 and 21 respectively, but the vast majority of rent reviews will be those fixed or CPI with at least a 2.5% ratchet, which have been working well to provide real growth in a low inflation environment. Moving to page 15, our origination and development programs continue to progress to expectation with two operating centres acquired and three development completions in the period. The three development completions are geographically spread over Queensland, Victoria and South Australia and have the common investment rationale of being located in undersupplied catchment areas that have poor older style competition where the introduction of high quality operations with ease in parking and good exposure that can be delivered at a cost that allows the tenant to be highly competitive with their daily fees. In talking with our tenant partners and backed up by early operating data, each of the newly developed properties is exceeding occupancy targets, with two of the properties trading over 50% occupancy in the first 2 months of operation. Looking at the pipeline, in total our development pipeline now sits at four projects with an anticipated aggregate cost of $21 million. We're nearing the practical completion of one of those projects and anticipate the balance to be complete over the course of financial year 20. Each of our current development projects are being undertaken on a fund-through basis where either a third-party developer or tenant undertakes the development and we pay capped progressive payments for which we earn a return either by capitalised coupon or site rent. These projects have a lower level of inherent development risk and as such provide for a lower anticipated yield. We anticipate this will be in the order of 6.7% looking forward. Each of the developments have our preferred development approval in place and a committed agreement for lease with our preferred tenant partner for that site. As is the case with the 36 developments we've completed in the last 5 years, each of the projects have the common theme of strong tenant, undersupplied market, and a comparative advantage in a local context. For example, close to a primary school or located on a major commuting thoroughfare. Of the $21 million anticipated total cost, approximately $11 million was outstanding to complete the projects as at balance date. Moving on to market conditions, on page 16 there, and I think everyone knows that we've sort of managed this stuff and carefully look at the data that comes into the business. In total, our data provides that 275 net new centres were added across the country in calendar year 18. And this is against 291 in calendar year 17. So on the face of it, a minor slowdown on supply. But looking at those numbers a little closer, the slowdown is really only attributable to the last 3 months to December, where we had only 35 new centres added across the country, about half the average run rate for that period over the last few years. And prior to that, we were actually running slightly ahead of the 2017 run rate. In January and February of this year, we've already seen approximately 70 net new centres added. So while we think supply is moderating, we still think it is a little early to call a material slowdown. On the demand side, not a lot has changed. It has increased, and we anticipate that it will continue to increase in the medium term, driven by higher workforce participation, particularly female workforce participation, and better recognition of the socialisation benefits that early learning provides to young children. Seeing continued population growth in the 0 to 4 year old bracket, albeit slowing, and importantly, the positive effects of government funding in the form of the childcare subsidy is encouraging stronger participation amongst particularly middle-income families. In August, we were able to report that early indications were positive for operators, and this has shown through our reporting data over the last 6 months. So what does it all mean for the Arena portfolio? On page 17, Arena's portfolio remains in a very strong position. We are 100% occupied. Our tenants were able to lift their average daily fee by just under 4% in the 6 months to December to reflect approximately $101 per day, which remains significantly below the government's benchmark fee of $130 per day. As you can see on the graph below, the new government funding package suits our portfolio of early learning centre tenants who are typically geared towards middle-income families. To give this context, all bar four of our centres, so that's 203 of 207 operating centres, which includes all of the 36 developments we've completed in the last 5 years, have average daily fees under the government's benchmark fee. We've seen an increase in the average underlying operator occupancy across the portfolio as at December, which we attribute to continued growing market demand and the introduction of the childcare subsidy, and rent to gross revenue ratio across the childcare portfolio decreased marginally from 11.2% back to 11%. Moving to page 18, and yesterday we announced the exciting acquisition of a $24 million specialist disability accommodation portfolio of three assets located in metropolitan Adelaide. This is an exciting acquisition for Arena and is consistent with our strategy to grow and further diversify our portfolio of social infrastructure property. Specialist disability accommodation and high-quality disability care services generally is a sector that we've been researching for over 12 months and is attractive to us due to those familiar characteristics that we look for in our investments. Growing community need for the underlying service, driven both by population growth, but also changing community values, and strong government support, in this case in the form of the National Disability Insurance Scheme framework. The properties themselves are high quality and provide for specialised accommodation and rehabilitation services for people living with a significant functional impairment and high support needs. They are leased to a leading disability services provider, SA Care, who have been providing care and rehabilitation services in South Australia for over 25 years. A recent report from KPMG looking into the framework for government assistance into the sector estimated that $700 million will need to be spent annually to meet underlying demand. The investment will return an initial income yield of 6% on the purchase price, and each of the leases have a 15-year initial term, and rent will be reviewed annually by CPI plus 0.5%. Our pro forma sector diversification improves with healthcare moving from approximately 13% to approximately 15% of the portfolio post the acquisition. I'll now move on to the outlook for Arena REIT. Looking forward, we have a positive outlook that is supported by our team's focus on executing on our strategy that remains unchanged. We have long-term triple net leases that have ratcheted escalations, as well as growth from the annualisation of our FY18 and 19 acquisitions and development completions. We will continue to explore in a disciplined way opportunities to further diversify the portfolio within the social infrastructure sector with investments that have the characteristics that we prefer. Long-term leases, predictable transparent cash flows with prospects for growth over time, accommodating uses that are supported by macroeconomic themes of population growth and growing community need. Moving to slide 21, strategically we are well placed to continue delivering benefits to the communities that use our assets, and on our investment objective of providing long-term predictable distributions to investors with good prospects for growth. From a macro level, we have a growing need for social infrastructure services based on population growth and changing community needs and values. We have funding capacity to execute on selective new acquisition and development activities, and importantly, we have a highly engaged and dedicated management team with strong relationships with tenant partners and in-house origination and development expertise. Moving on to the final slide, and we're reaffirming our full-year distribution guidance of 13.5 cents today, an increase of 5.5%. To support our guidance, and as you will have picked up throughout the presentation, our portfolio metrics are in great shape, and as Gareth advised, we've seen strong financial performance and are in a solid financial position. That concludes the formal presentation, so I'll now pass the call to the operator to open up for questions.